Chapter number 11. Sure is good to see you in church this morning. I know for one, I need to be in God's presence today. Amen. I was praying this morning. I told him, I said, Lord, I feel like I hear people say this oftentimes, and it's almost like just a cliche, but I truly mean it today. I need him more today than I ever have in my life. And I'm so thankful that I serve a risen Savior. I'm thankful that I serve a present and faithful Savior. Can you imagine if we were like the prophets there on Mount Carmel who were serving Baal, that they cried out all day long, put on quite a show, and someone could look over and say, "Where's Baal? Maybe he sleepeth. Maybe he's on vacation." That's not our God. Amen. Our God's the God that Elijah prayed just a few words and he sent fire down from heaven. Hear what I'm saying this morning. You don't have to work some things out and hope that God will hear your prayer. If you pray, he will in no wise cast you out. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, we call this the heroes of faith. There are many men and women who are listed specifically with Abraham, Moses, many others that God deals with in this text specifically. But at the end, he kind of gives a synopsis, if you will, starting in verse 32, where he lists a few other men quickly and then just lists some things about these people in this text. And I think it'd be a help to us this morning to take a look at this, then find ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. If you're awake this morning, say amen. 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 All right. Just want to make sure you're awake when I start. We'll try that again when I get done. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 32. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets." Look at this. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." Does this not seem like some really cool stuff? "Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword." I'm reading through this, my mind's blown. I can't imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fire, it being so hot it killed the men who threw me in. I'm bound. When I come out, I'm not bound anymore, and I don't even smell like smoke. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom being thrown into a den of lions, and then the next morning they come back and God had shut their mouth. I can't even imagine getting around some dogs and them not, some cats and them not. I don't want you to put me in a den with snakes, much less a den with lions. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And God shut their mouth? Can you imagine that? But when I keep reading, I get to this next one right here, and I feel like my spirit is bearing witness with this text. Look what it says in verse 34. "Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong." You ever feel like you're not good enough? You ever try to figure out something and it's like you gave it all you got and you still didn't have enough? You ever felt like you were in control of a situation just to realize you weren't? If you feel like you know, like you've got this, I want you to pick any 2-year-old in the building this morning and see if you can make a mind all day. I remember having the first kid, you feel like I'm controlling my house. I run this house. I do what I want. I'm going to be in charge. And then you got this child that's can't even speak, going to the restroom in its diaper, and it controls every second of your day. And you realize you're not really in control. Have you figured that out yet? We'd all say, "Oh, amen, I know, preacher, God's in charge. God knows what he's doing." Then why are you still acting like you're in control? Why are you still trying to grab on and direct this thing and control this thing and feel like I'm strong, I know what I'm doing? My Bible tells me that in my weakness, he is made strong. And every second of every day you feel like you've got this, you don't need to pray, you're in charge, you know what you're doing, you're going to be just like Jonah and you're going to wake up in the belly of the whale and then start praying.
Why do we wait until we're all the way down there before we involve God? Realize, when you're on the mountaintop, God's still in charge. When you're way down there in the valley, God's still in charge. And I read this text and I see where they're subduing kingdoms and shutting the mouths of lions and defeating fire, but in their weakness, God made them strong. It makes me think of some text. We were just there in Exodus chapter number 5 a few services ago where Moses does exactly what God told him to do. And remember, chapters 3 and 4 is Moses saying, God, I can't do this. I cannot go to Pharaoh. I cannot go to your people. I cannot tell them to let the people go. The people won't listen to me, much less Pharaoh. He stands before Pharaoh and he rehearses exactly what God says for him to do. And what happened? Things got worse. Pharaoh started to put bondage on them like they never had before. He wasn't helping them. He put harder work on them. He burdened the people. And Moses said, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do, and it's gotten worse. What about Jacob? Scared to death. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. His life just keeps doing this over and over and over and over again. And now he's got to go meet Esau. Last time he saw Esau, they weren't exactly best of buds. He's scared to death. The Bible describes it as he feared Esau. Then he meets the Lord. And the Lord asks him, what is your name? And God changes his name and makes a new person out of him. He's no longer a deceiver. He's no longer a heel snatcher. He's now the name of God's chosen children. We see in this very text, Israel. But when he got done, he had a hollow in his thigh. And every time he went to walk around to everyone else, he looked weaker. But to God in heaven, he looked stronger. He was thankful for his limp. Every time, I believe every time Jacob wake up, and you know when you're limping, it's cause you're hurting. You don't limp cause it's fun. You're having a hard time getting around because you have a pain, you have an ailment, and he had the same thing. But every time with his pain, every time with his ailment, it reminded him, you may be weak right now, but in your weakness, God can be so much stronger. And God used his son, used his offspring to save the world in a famine. Can you imagine that? Getting to be that? Amazing the way God can use somebody when they get weak. But we don't want to admit we're weak. I don't like looking weak. And all of us have that problem, but men, listen up, we're worse. We want to look like we've got this. I don't need help. I'm not asking for directions. I'm not lost. We're just on a detour. Where are we? I'll tell you when I figure it out. Right? You read the instructions manual? If you do, you're a female. Right? I don't need instructions. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You want everybody around you to think you know what you're doing until everything actually falls apart and you don't know what you're doing. Right? Why not just admit right now that I'm weak and he's strong? Every day when I wake up, guess what? I'm weak. He's strong. When I wake up on Monday, I need him. When I wake up on Tuesday, I need him. When I wake up the next day, I'm going to need him. And I'm going to tell you the best thing about him. Every single day, yesterday, today, forever, he's the same. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't get the man flu. Amen. A little bit of sniffles and you're in the bed for 2 days. Wife can take care of kids with COVID. We want everybody to think we know what we're doing. But God talked to these people. He said, listen, they may have subdued kingdoms. They may have shut the mouths of lions. But hey, listen to this. In their weakness, they were made strong. In this text, look how many times in chapter 11 it says, by faith. Look at it. Verse 4, by faith. Verse 5, by faith. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Verse 7, by faith. Verse 8, by faith. You see where I'm going with this? Everything they did, it was not by their strength, by their talents, by their intellect, by their abilities. It's by faith. God was the one doing the work. God was the one in charge from the beginning to the ending. He was the same. All the way through it, you're doing this. Mondays, I don't know about you, Mondays feel like this all day long. And God's just up here, not changing one second. Now we go all over the Bible and look at people who are weak. And through the strength of our God, they're made strong. All over the Bible. This chapter is all about people that were weak. They were sinners. If I go each list down through here and I start and I look at and I see Noah down here. Noah was a drunk. Abraham. Abraham decided to have a kid with somebody else. He got ahead of God. We can go down this list. Moses was a murderer. Mentions David down here. Look at David was an adulterer, a murderer. They're all sinners. Sounds like we're in pretty good company. But these sinners had a great Savior, and this morning, these bunch of sinners can have a great Savior. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. If you ask me right now to talk about somebody that I think individually outside of Jesus Christ had an impact on the church, it just blows my mind. It's a man by the name of Paul. Now, let's be clear. Jesus built the church. Amen. But the way he used Paul blows my mind. God wrote the Bible, but he used men to pen down his breathed words. Amen. And when you open up this New Testament, you go book to book to book to book. Paul pinned that down. Paul pinned that down. Paul pinned that down. Paul planted that church. Paul took the gospel to that place. Paul did this. Paul discipled him. Paul trained Timothy. He trained Titus. He just gets mind-blowing the way that God used him. But look what he says about himself here in chapter number 12, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. On three separate occasions, he said, Lord, this is too much. I need this problem fixed. Verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now let's read that again. Look what God says. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When's the last time you just admitted I ain't got it? Several things in this text. Look at it first for me in verse number 7. And watch me while I say this. We see the punishment. Why is it every time something ain't going our way, we think God's punishing us? Was Noah being punished when he was on the boat and everybody else was dying? Why is it every time we think, there was actually a young boy that was brought to Jesus and he had disabilities and they asked, who sinned? He said, nobody. He has this for my glory. Maybe you're going through your infirmity for His glory. It's not because you're being punished by God. We start this spiral, and it is the devil. He just wants you to think it's all about you. You're the only one who's ever been through this. Get in line. I like what one preacher said. He was preaching, a lady came to church. She said, I hate you. He said, get in line behind my wife. Don't take it personal. Why are we always, what the devil wants you to think is that you're the only one and nobody knows and gets you all by yourself so you can't get around nobody to be exalted. Why is it when we start struggling in life, we start pulling apart from the people who can actually help us? We start driving ourselves over towards the world like they have something to give us. They have nothing to offer. The God of heaven is the only one who can take your weakness and make you strong. Other people can take your weakness and add their weakness to it. And we look at this and go, why am I being punished? Look what he says. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He said, God is using me to pin down the Bible. And if I sat here and thought I had no struggles and had no problems, I'd start thinking so much of myself, I'd start thinking, hey, this actually comes from me. If you never had a struggle, you start looking around all the blessings God's put around you and you start going, I did that. Look what I did. Hey, I led them to the Lord. Hey, I'm the one who invited that person. Hey, I'm the one who taught that class. Let me tell you about that message I preached. It was great. Every Sunday when I leave, I see somebody out in public and they say, how was church this morning? Carnally, I want to go, it was horrible. Just see what they'd say. What are you supposed to say to that? It's like a competition between preachers at lunch on who had a better service. My response is always, I stole it from Brother Matthew Morgan, everything was great but the preaching. Amen. Especially if Brother Johnny preaches. That's just... The Bible says for us to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Because this is a room full of people that are weak. We're serving a God that's very strong. Maybe it's not a punishment. Maybe it's just God saying, you need to remember who you are so you'll always remember who I am. You need to realize you don't have control. You're not in charge. You ain't figured out life. Every time you figure out a stage, it's like a curveball just comes in. I literally placed a call. I don't remember who it was first. I did Ashley and my dad both this week. I called him. I said, I just got a 12-6 curveball that started in the nose and ended in the dirt. I did not see that coming. And it's like every single day something happens. I didn't see that. I didn't know it was going to happen. And I'm not preaching against guys who write books. I'm thankful for them. But I can tell you, I'm not in line to write one anytime soon. I can write one about all the things I do not know. Every day I wake up and it's just another battle. And every day I wake up and I'm still in the stinking flesh. And every day I wake up and I go, why am I still battling this? So that I realize I still need Him. You're not being punished, you're being humbled. You'll never look for someone to help you with your problems until you realize you got them. You'll never look for somebody to save you until you realize you're lost. You've got to get lost to get found. You've got to get weak to know that you need help. And God puts us in a weak spot. We have weakness so that we would be humbled, so we realize I'm not in charge. The moment you start looking around saying, I have just got this thing figured out, brace yourself. Because you bring yourself up, the Bible says, take heed lest he fall. You start holding yourself up real high, you're going to start finding yourself falling down real hard. You start lifting him up real high, he said he'll draw all men unto himself. Amen. Our punishment. Guys, it's not really a punishment. And I never want to step over into God's shoes and say, it's not a punishment ever. But I will tell you, when I look through this Bible more often than not, Job wasn't being punished. Job was being trusted. Jonah wasn't necessarily being punished. He was just being shipped to go do what he was told he was going to do. The fish was prepared and took him where he was supposed to go. And the preacher who smelled like whale puke preached a revival and everybody got saved. Right? Our punishment is something that we often get confused. We're just being humbled, but there's purpose in our punishment. Look what it says. Unless I should be exalted above measure. Everybody else would look at you and go, I could never be that person. You ever read your Bible and thought, boy, I could never be Daniel. I could never be David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. I could never be Noah, faithfully served that long. I just listed three sinners. You ever looked at somebody in life and thought, boy, I could never pray like them? You got the same God. Why not? I could never serve like them. You've got the same God. It was a great day for me, and I started preaching. When I look at all these men as my heroes, and they're still my heroes this day, but I thought they got the same calling, same Bible, same God. Amen. It helps you not to think you're somebody, you're God's gift. But that humility and humbling does something else. Look at verse 3. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice it might depart from me. It will drive you to Him. You need your punishment or your humbling so you'll find yourself and realize, I need help. Where can I find help? Oh yeah, in the throne room of grace. Amen. I've got to get to Him. It has purpose. It drives me to God and drives me down from being proud, but drives me humbly so I can find my way to Him and say, God, I need help. I don't think that Paul laid down and said, Lord, could you help me with this on just a few minutes from now? All right. Have you ever been so burdened about something it brought you to tears? It just broke you. The thought of dealing with this any longer. It's just, I can't handle this. I'm so weak. I need help. And God hears your tears. God hears your cry. And look what God said to him, verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. He said, you may have to keep the thorn, but I've got grace that's bigger than a thorn. Amen. You may still be in this flesh every day when you wake up, but I've got a God that defeated flesh. Amen. You may wake up and your mind may drive straight to sin left field, but I've got a God that came down here and defeated that. He didn't sin one time. Amen. Your body might be getting to an age now where it's giving out on you. And it ain't doing the things you want it to do. But I got a God in heaven said He'll give you a new one. It may not be the way you would solve it, but you're the weak one. You don't know. You have no idea how to solve this problem. Have you come to the conclusion that not just are you weak in the problem, but you're weak in the solution? You don't know how to overcome this. How can I fix this? He can. It's impossible. He specializes in that. It can't not rain for three years. Oh, yes, it can. The sun cannot stand still. Yes, it can. A sinner cannot get to heaven. Yes, he can. Amen. It's with Him. There's purpose in this thing you're going through. There's purpose in being weak. It's so that you will realize I need Him. It just drives you to God. Why are you still trying to fix it? Verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the... What does the Bible say? Look at it, verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We get to see His power. If you never struggled, you'd never get to see God do things that blew your mind. You've been there. But Dalton, you've been laying here praying for God to save your brother. Honestly, not just lost, but a scoffer. Says things to make you mad about it. Scoffs in the face of God. He's sitting back there in the box right now. Discipling people, teaching Sunday school. It felt impossible. I'm looking at it. I know that Kayla and Charles got to. Is Gabriel ever going to get saved? What do you want me to say at this point? How confused would you be as a parent if your child can give you the gospel and still ain't saved? Yeah. That's where they were. What do I do now? He can tell other people. I was teaching Sunday school before I got saved. I taught Sunday school and saw three people saved in one Sunday morning while I was lost. You can say it ain't possible. I watched it. Feel so defeated. Gabriel, you saved. If you died right now, where'd you go? You know that for sure. How many impossible things you faced in your life, and now you're looking at them?
Good.
How many people, I wonder, sitting in this room that doctors said wouldn't be here? But they're here. Our God specializes in impossible. He'd go into whole towns, and there'd be people with all kinds of sickness, diseases, and he'd let them touch him, which just blows my mind. If a bunch of people come running after me with diseases, I'm turning around, and this fat guy's going to run. Beefy. And they would touch him and they would be healed, every single one of them.
Right.
Can you imagine being the wife, the mother, the father, the children of the maniac of Gadara? Can you imagine when he came home? He said, God, I want to follow you. He said, no, go home and see your family. You know the family gave up on him. They chained him up. They locked him in a graveyard. They looked at him as what? What do you put in the graveyard? Dead. He's too far gone. Not when he met Jesus. In your weakness, he is made strong. Why are you walking around like you got this thing figured out? The world's got you convinced that you've got to do you. No. You got to get to him. I realize I ain't got this. I don't know how to solve this problem. I can't fix this problem. It's above and beyond me. But it's not above and beyond him. This morning, let's end out service. Brother Nathan, you come to the piano. Everybody stand to your feet. Make it easier to get out of your seat. If there's something in your life you're dealing with right now that you just say, I don't know what to do with this, would you come down to an altar and say, God, I'm weak. Humble yourself now. It's a humbling experience to get out of a pew and walk to an altar. Do you humble yourself, find yourself in an altar and say, God, I don't know.